Right, welcome along to the 12th edition of the Manx Footy Pod. Dave is here as always.
Hi everyone.
How are you this week, Dave?
Not too shabby indeed.
Fantastic. Delighted to say we're joined this week by Onken Duro, Tristan Ringham and Rob Slinger. They're here to talk about the probably one of the form teams in the island, would you say, Dave?
Absolutely, yeah. They've been a surprise package for everyone, I think, this year.
So we'll talk to them in just a minute. Right, guys, started to say we've got Onken Stalwart, I think, is only a fair title for Tristan. And I've got obviously their first team keeper, Rob Slinger, with us today. And we're just going to talk about obviously one of the stories of the season so far, wouldn't you say, Dave?
Absolutely. I mean, you're only 2 points off the top of the table in the second division. I mean, yeah, it's been an impressive season, hasn't it, so far?
So we've got to say, where's this remarkable run of form come from, boys? You've only lost one in the last eight, including a draw with Braddon. So what sparked it?
You know, from what I've seen, what's been key to it is the stop conceding so many goals, which could be down to two factors. I mean, we didn't really have an established goalkeeper last year. Rob's come in as the first team keeper. And also, we've took Dave Rees out of defence and onto the sideline.
So, didn't ship Mark out of defence.
Yeah. So, well, you know, obviously you've been played in most of these games. Has it been just that? You're a bit more organised this season?
We started, at the start of the season, we started mixing things up, throwing combi players and youth players, and it was testing everything out. I think Dave was trying to find the changing the formation and all things like that, and it's brought in, he's now swapped a couple of players around, bringing Andy Asbridge into centre-back, partnering up with Morris. And we've got a young lad at left back, and we've just brought another right back in, and we just seem to get on and off the field.
Yeah,
and it's definitely the banter as well.
So we're giving Dave some credit here. He obviously took the job at the start of the season. He seems to have he's made a good start at the job.
Yeah, he's done really well, to be fair to him. I mean, I think we've got quite a good team in general in terms of coaches, because I mean, Dave, also Tony Jockins coming to manage the combi. They work really well together, but neither of them have really managed a senior team before and taken training. So there's about, you know, Martin Gilmore, who was manager last year, he helps coach. I help coach myself. Andy Ashford just took a few sessions. So we've got quite a big team taking training, so they're not overly reliant on one person.
Spreads the load. That's good. And we had the Braddon boys in. We talked about this before we started recording, and they were commending his tactical acumen for... I would call it parking the bus. Is that what they were sort of hinting?
Mourinho-esque. Yeah,
Mourinho-esque parking the bus against Braddon. But is that what Dave's about? Does he go into each fixture?
No, he tends to. He wants us to work together and get off each other's back, which is the first thing he comes in. We're all about working together and we get on. And it's using everyone to the best advantage. He'll always point out like people's strong points and say, listen, we need to start using it. And he would go in, he's never turned around to us and said, listen, let's part, sit.
Yeah.
Or let's go for it. He's just technically, let's use each other.
Yeah.
At our best strengths. And the main focus is try and keep less conceding.
Yeah.
I think that's been the focal point this season.
Well, I have to say, I watched you guys against Youthy at the start of this run you've put together. And Youthy, obviously a team that have come down from the Premier League, still had a lot of their squad that they played last season. But you never looked like losing against them. And you were very... The point that I sort of came across to me, you were very well organised, you knew what you were doing, and you looked to hit on the break a lot, which looked effective with Craig up front.
It's a lot of communication.
Joe,
communicating through the back line. We're starting off at the back, out literally there's balls where players moving across the back line will talk to each other. Instead of following them, we'll let each other know where everyone is, and it's the same moving forward. And the support we got up front, we got Joe up front, and he's supported with his brother just sat behind him. They'll dominate the centre midfield and throw a challenge in. And then round using the pace and width. So as we've started using the width more, we were quite narrow towards the start of the season, but using the width, we're now starting to whip it in.
So you were saying, Tristan, the whole club's on a bit of a roll at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, we've got 5 junior teams in leagues and 3 of them are currently sat top. And there's a couple on maximum points. The development groups, the under-8s, the under-9s, the under-10s, they all seem to play... You know, picking up a lot of wins. I mean, we've got some excellent young players all the way down. I mean, the under-15s, I tend to watch them most weekends now. And you've got like Sam Baines, Ben Wasser. I mean, they're just technically excellent players. And so we tried to bring a lot of youth through at the club. I mean, our combi on average, I think, take Brian Ring out, they're all 17, 18, 19. And they've only lost one game all season, which was the league leaders, Braddon, again. We had half the first team away that weekend, so half the combi went up. And so they were unlucky to lose there by all accounts.
It's good for the younger players as well to see that there is a pathway up, isn't it, into the comp and the first team. Yeah. I think the feel-good factor certainly seems to be there, and I've known you guys off the pitch for a while, and you always have the really good camaraderie on and off the pitch, and that's so important going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, what we've tried to do recently is make sure all the whole club's fixtures are announced on the Facebook, from first team all the way down to the under-6s. Mm. Let everyone know when everyone's playing, so you get a lot of the juniors now watching the senior teams and vice versa. So we're trying to become more of a club rather than his senior, which often happens at a lot of clubs. You see there's no connection at all, whereas we're trying to bring the whole club together.
Well, we touched on this with Corinthians a couple of weeks ago, and they're obviously possibly, you know, doing a similar thing to you guys in the Premier League. You know, they've qualified for the Railway Cup, but they were talking, it's all about the togetherness. They're a bunch of mates that play football on a Saturday, and they've said that's really helped them out this season. Sean and Josh alluded to that. But you know, going back to the playing side, is there anyone that stood out in this? You mentioned Joe, Rob. You know,
Joe's coming in form. He's firing a few good goals. He's strong as well, and he's surprisingly for a tall lad quite quick. But I wouldn't say in the first team there's been anyone stand out. I think last week we pointed out against Royals we struggled at the back.
Yeah.
We just had an off game. But I think the way we work together, there's not really been a standout player because everyone has improved. Everyone's coming together. And instead of we'll give on the field criticism, they'll talk to each other, won't take it on board, but there is a really good, it's a unit more than anything.
I mean, the big problem for the first team is obviously scoring goals. We haven't got many goal scorers. Dave's managed to tame the beast a bit this year. And I mean, Joe Rees, I think, 3 games in a row last year, he picked up 3 red cards. He's had a little wager this year with his discipline. I think he's only on 1 yellow so far.
That's impressive.
I mean, bringing his boss in from work has helped, because obviously he works for Rob. Rob can keep an eye on him.
I've taken the yellow cards off him.
I was going to say taking one for the team. Yeah. But I was saying, we were talking to Dave before, when we said we're going to get you guys in, Is it fair to say in the past you may have underperformed as a first team? We've been doing pre-season, and I remember the season you had Wolfie and Greg, and I think you had a really good side. I think we both said, oh, they're not going to go far here, but and then it's sort of fallen flat. But this year you've come under the radar. You know, I think, to be fair, people have probably looking at lower half finish.
I think Dave tipped us 10th for 11th.
Fair, I did tip you to beat Royal last week. So,
but what was the aim at the start of the season? Was it just a season of see how we get on? Or?
Well, watching them last season, it was pretty dire. I watched a couple of games, and then coming in this season, Dave just wanted to add a couple of players to the team. He didn't want to go ballistic. Add a few players in, and start building and bringing youth in. We've had we just lost Karush at left back, and he's had a in centre midfield for a young lad can throw a challenge in. I think I drove past him the other day coming out of sixth form, and it's he's lined up next to
him.
Then we've got Gareth Chilcott left back.
He's 16.
And he's 16, about 4 stone. But he's really good player, and to see these youth lads coming through, and Dave's giving everyone a chance, because once he's picked the first team, I think Tony's got 22 players to pick from.
Wow.
And they're all training, they've all paid their subs. I mean, so I'm in a group with Dave and Tony, and they come to pick the squads, and Dave will name his squad, and Tony just panics and he'll send a list of 10-20 names. Who am I going to pick? Who can I leave out? But there's not very little between the people, so we've got more strength and depth than we have had, because I mean, a lot of the people in the combi are the youngsters who've played in the first team the last couple of years, who maybe needed a bit more time in combi football. They're all starting to become more confident footballers now, which gives Dave more people to call upon when people are away.
Well, you had, I think today with one, Jared Culligan. He was banging them in for the first team, wasn't he, for a while, and now he's has to go to combi.
Yeah, well, Jared's a real confidence player. I mean, everyone thinks he's really good. He's excellent at finishing, great at holding the ball up, but he's just got no confidence in himself. I mean, he took half a season out last year because sadly his dad passed away, who was down watching all the games. So he had a bit of a break, and he's come back this year, and he looks motivated again now, and he's working hard.
Well, name we always see in the scorers list on a Monday morning, isn't it? Chris Asprey. You know, he's banging him in for fun. He must be one of the top scorers in that division now.
The better Asprey.
We'll talk about Andy shortly. His revolution from goalkeeper to centre back.
Chris is top scorer of that league, I think. And I mean, he turned 16 about a year ago, and he came straight into the combi, and I think he scored a hat-trick in his first or second game.
Wow.
He's really quick. He doesn't stop. I mean, he just chases everything, which in combi football creates a lot of chances.
Yeah.
I mean, he has struggled a bit for goals to a certain degree this year because he hit 8 on the opening day. And then he went a fair few games without scoring, and he actually found himself on the bench for the first time last week.
But
he's come back in and scored a hat-trick again.
Well, he picked up one of the player awards, didn't he, at the end of season 2? Combi?
I think he picked up in the... He got the combi top scorer in there.
Yeah, he did last season.
Coming in halfway through.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about combi. We've talked about it last week with Liam, and then we talked about it when I spoke to the Laxey Giro, Paul, and Johnny Callow. And we talked about combination football. Now, you've touched on it, but you've verbally this week. You work as a unit. You know, I know some clubs. Maybe it's not as widespread as I think, but there's separate entities first and second team.
There is. I noticed that when I came to Onken last year, my little girl wanted to play the same team as me, so hence moving to Onken. And you go to training, and there's like 32 players there, and it's not a case of they don't. It's rare that you see them. If we've had a bad game, they'll pull the first team to one side and say, "Right, you're training with each other, passing."
Yeah.
But it's so they just mix everyone in. But that runs right through. I go on a Saturday morning and I go. My little one starts at 11 till 12, but I go down at 10 and train with her. And then you see the kids. It's not a case of the best players will go over to that side and that. They mix them through. And I know my little girl struggles, but she mixes through and it's brought through. And the philosophies I see down at on a Saturday morning with like Tristan, Justin, and that took all the way through, and it's the same effect knocking on, because you've got Andy who's with coaching with the younger ones, Cowie's coaching there, Tristan when he comes down to training runs them dodgy training sessions. And then it all goes through. It's not, no one's separated, and everyone's got a chance in that first team. And Dave and Tony is wanting to push them on. Dave is giving them the opportunity, and like he says, I'm here to push them in. And he's going to be chucking out a couple of seasons' time. It's like myself, Rob Byrne, Mark Rees are going to be getting pushed out by these younger lads. And that's really what we want to see.
But we were talking about it the other week as well. We said, is this the place for combination football? Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. There is, because you've said there's lads that have maybe been in first team too early. And you know, now you're giving them a chance in combination football to build up their confidence, build up their time with other players, you know.
I mean, in terms of trying to bring the club together in general as well, we've actually got all the coaches more on the same wavelength as well, because the junior side used to be a bit disjointed. And
right, okay.
There's little communication, and now everyone's together. Our coaches are playing in this football tournament that Lewis has organised over November. I think they're through to the semi-finals now, and it's first-team managers playing alongside the under-6 coach and the under-9 coach, and it's really good fun. They've really enjoyed it, but we're playing some good football, and you're getting the kids down to watch as well, because they want to heckle the coaches.
See if they can
see what they can do. Yeah, but I mean, the combination football, I think the strength of the combi has been key for the first team's run, because as we said, like,
it's rotation.
When the first team played Braddon and there was 5 players away, Dave was able to bring up half the combi and still get a result. And
More importantly, you were still able to fill a combination side. Many a club, if you'd taken 5 out of that second string, it just wouldn't happen, would it?
But that's the good thing. See, Tony Jappin's got going down. Like, I've seen it at clubs where players get dropped and they just sulk, and if they're sitting on the sideline, you've got common players that are willing to sit on the bench and willing to play just half an hour just to get that taste of football in the first team. Yeah. Even in the combi, Tony's speaking to them saying, listen, I've got to rotate, and players are getting dropped and they're understanding that. And they're coming back next week and they're working harder in training, making sure they're at 2 training sessions, because the managers are dropping players, and it's good to see that, right, you haven't trained twice this week. You're even getting it. And it's worse because I work with Joe, and me and him, it's just like Monday, do we go? Get to Wednesday and it's, we've got to go.
To be honest, again, it echoes what the Corinthians boys said. I remember the week we spoke to them, Danny and Andy had dropped Danny Oram, hadn't he?
Yeah.
He, you know, a regular scorer at first team level, and then he brought Glenn Walk as well. He brought in Adam Killey for the St George's game, it was. And he said that the boys both said the thing that impressed them both was the way their players reacted to that. Yeah. They didn't sulk. They were like, right, this is all not just about me. This is about a club or the team in this instance.
I think the first team just scared of Dave Rees at half time. 2-0 up. I think we're 2-0 up, went into half time against Kurt Michael and got shouted at. I think we get anything. I think just an excuse to shout at his brothers.
Well, we brought the discipline right in at the first team. I mean, we had a lot of silly red cards and bookings and stuff last season. The only red card the club have had this season is Dave the manager. And he wasn't even on the pitch. So
we suppose we've got to ask the big main question. How far can you go? Yeah. Is it Gold Cup or are we talking about promotion?
At the start of the season, when we went to the first training session and we like played a few games and then played a few games together, you could hear everyone saying that Combi pushing for the league. You can see that. You can see it within the players, the young players, and the first team pushing for top four. And I think Andy Glover hit the nail on the head the other day when he's talking about Braddon. And he said the Braddon squad had been there for 3 years and the manager as well had been there for about three years. And what they've done, instead of dramatic changes, that just gradually bring people in and push them forward and look how Braddon are now. I think Onken can do exactly the same, especially with these young lads that are coming through. You see young Gareth and when someone said to me, he's in your defence, I just went, there is no way. And he's only a small lad. And to see these coming through, I think if you keep the squads together and keep them pushing on, I think 2 or 3 years they should be pushing for promotion. But this year, I think we could push towards top four.
Yeah, I mean, Dave's main aim, he said, he got to the halfway point in the season, he said, right now I want to beat my points total for the second half of the season.
Yeah, sensible.
Now, 2 games into the second half, they beat Michael because they drew the first one. They couldn't score. So he's got 2 more points there. And then they beat Royal, so they're 5 points better off 2 games into the second half.
Yeah.
And if they can continue that run going, then, I mean, there's nothing to... Had they not dropped them 2 points at Michael at the start of the year, they'd be sat joint top right now, which just shows it's fine margins. And
well, I was going to say, I said that the point I was going to make, the Division Two at the moment, they're taking points off each other.
Yeah.
That result against Royal last week must have been, you know, the confidence was already high. It must have been a massive shot on the arm.
Yeah, it was really. But the thing was, the best thing about it was a great game of football. Even to Royals, it was just a great game of football.
Well, 9 goals, 5-4.
No one took the foot off the pedal. They were coming at us. There was the players were having a laugh and a joke on the pitch, but as well as getting in there, it was just end to end. It was just going backwards and forwards. And I said, like, we pulled up at the end of the game. The fault lay with us back five, really, from the keeper to the four defenders. We struggled communicating. We didn't communicate with each other. It was just an off game for us.
Again, there was a few defenders missing that day, and you're making changes last minute.
We had the left back and right back away, so we made changes. But I think Gareth got dropped for that game because they are quite strong on the wings. But instead of Gareth putting his head down and saying, listen, I got dropped and sulk, I'm going to sit in the combi, he's just been training twice and even harder this week to push himself, and I think he's just been named in the squad this week again.
Yeah, with, again, the lad who played left back, Luke Price, played fullback, he's away now, so that Gareth can come back in. And as soon as someone's away, there's someone there ready to take their place every time. Yeah. And what Dave did after the Braddon game, he had 5 people away, was it? And then the next week they had another game, and he kept the same 11, and he had both his brothers on the bench, and Craig Marsh, who's second top scorer, ended up in the combi. Yeah. But they all kept training, and then all three of them have earned their places back.
I think it went on a personal level back to the moment.
I was going to say, we're going to maybe talk about the sibling rivalry a bit later on, but how is Dave finding, you know, it's a shame he's not here today, but obviously he's got work and commitments, but how is he finding managing his brothers? That must be a nightmare.
It's hilarious, he said, because the changing room, because Mark's captain.
Yeah.
You've got Dave as manager, and Joe as the striker. If Joe's like, said anything, Dave will be shouting. But how he can say it to his brothers is different how he'll say it to us.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can see it, and we tend to try and wind it up a bit more as well.
Do you think it's easier for Dave then to manage them than it would be for someone else? Because he can say, wind your neck in, Joe, or whatever.
I think the thing is, the whole team have got respect for him. Because I played for with David at Jim's.
Yeah.
And I played Mark and Joe at Pulley. And going from there, they do have respect and they listen. And it goes through the whole team. They'll respect. If the rest of the team are seeing that Mark and Joe and that are respecting their brother.
Yeah.
That sometimes you don't like the comments that come out, because it is have to be right. If Joe misses a shot and gets frustrated, calm down.
Or to
me, you need to get your head on the game, or to anyone. It's not nice to hear, but he has the respect of the changing room, and everyone will listen to him and adapt to what he says, because he does see more.
Yeah, I mean, when we were looking to appoint a first team manager in the summer, the one man to throw his name in the hat for the first team job was Tom Chamberlain. He'd been at the club for a good best part of 10 years, and he's managed the Combi for the last few years. And Dave was happy to take the Combi job, But as a committee, we were sat there and we had to do it in front of Tom and just say, well, listen, if Tom took the job, not only would we not really bring anyone in, but we'd probably lose a few of our more senior players. So Dave managed to keep everyone together. And it goes back to having the respect of the players. I mean, Tom, for all his efforts, he's still only 24.
Right.
And so if he was trying to boss some of them senior players about, they wouldn't listen.
Yeah. Whereas Dave, as you say, has played in the Premier League.
Well, he's been in the same situation, because when we were at Jim's, I was in the combi, and Jim's was sat rock bottom of the league. And then I went in halfway through the season, they swapped the team round. And then the next season, we were pushing for the top four. We had to have a playoff with Laxey. So Dave's been in the position we're in now.
Yeah, yeah.
Going for a top four. So he's had experience. I think we missed out. We got beat 2-3-1 against Laxey. And Dave has been in the exact position pushing for the top four. So it's good to someone that's experienced.
Yeah, he knows what's ahead, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, who do you think will be in the promotion mix? You know, you've played everyone now. Braddon seemed to be streets ahead, but then they've had a bit, I wouldn't call it wobble in the last few weeks.
Yeah,
drop points.
Every team has it, though.
If Andy Glover doesn't play well, then they tend to struggle. Yeah. He was kept quite quiet against Duncan because he picked up an early booking. And if he picks up an early booking,
it
quietens his game down.
A bit harsh booking, though. It was harsh booking.
Yeah. And then was he away last week when they dropped points again?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he was down in the season.
He wasn't playing
last week and they dropped points again. So I think if Andy Glover stays available, then Braddon should go up. But
I think that's like a stereotype. You know, like you turn around and say that one person's important, because when I watched when we played against them, it wasn't just Andy Glover. There was the players around him.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable. They've
got some good players.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about Connor. Connor was a big player.
Ben O'Neill's a really good player.
Former, he played for Duncan?
He played for us pre-season and he nearly signed. I think he was dating one of the Reese's sisters. was that Tom, actually?
So he got put in the conversation.
One of them was dating the Reese's little sister, so they had to train with us pre-season.
So who else do you think is going to be in the mix? You know, obviously you played Royal last week. Their strength is they can score goals.
I've played for Royals when one of the first teams came to the island. I do think Royals will go up, and I'd like them to go up because there's some good players in that team. You got John Quirk, played centre midfield, good. Gorney.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them go up.
I mean, I'm good friends with a lot of the Royals lads, and I speak to Gav Gordon most days about Footy. The one thing we've always said about that Royals team is it's a very old team.
Right.
I didn't think it was possible after last season for the average age of their team to go up. But then they lost Kenny Cowan to Paul Rose, who's one of their few young players, and they brought in John Quirk and was it Kenny McGee?
Yeah, he's so.
I think the average age of their team is about 40 now. But I mean, they score a lot of goals, but it's just where they go from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about Foxdale then? Do you still think they could do it? Or?
No, I don't think they will.
I've not seen Foxdale play. They're the only team to give Onken Harden this year, which Rob will probably know more about.
Yeah,
don't
want to
talk about.
Well, we were talking about this last week. You were saying about bringing in a couple of players each season and maybe progressing. Foxdale brought in 11. And I thought, okay, this is going to go one or two ways. And initially, it seemed to be working, but they've dropped points. Maybe at places you wouldn't expect, to Douglas and District.
It was ever since you tipped them for the trophy parade through Foxdale.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I remember being a small child watching the last time they won Division 2 and they came through on a flatbed truck. I think Foxdale had a national holiday that day. But they are, they seem to have dropped points occasionally. But they have got Aaron Castain, must be one of the top players strikers in that league. Yeah.
I think they were dangerous from set pieces. It was the long throw and the set pieces.
Well, Big J as well, target man.
Yeah.
Well, he caused
Kurt Michael in pre-season.
Yeah,
a lot of problems last season. Actually, I think he scored a hat trick past us, and because he's quick and he's big, he's great in the air.
Yeah.
Well, that was like one of the first few games of the season because we didn't have I think we got about six games in before we actually had our first team because we kept having players away every week. And Foxdale, that was another one. Braddon, we had about five, six players away on holidays and things like that, so we were struggling.
So it's fair to say you're looking forward to the reverse.
We're looking forward to it.
It's only a couple of weeks away now, so.
And then Castan, we've got to mention them. They're top at the moment. You know, your bright smile from you two there.
Rob's very popular down Castan.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But they again, they've got a firebrand striker in Alex Crowley. You know,
I think he's banned now though, isn't he? Because he got sent off against Youth a couple of weeks ago.
Keeper or something, didn't he?
Yeah, so a bit of a collision. But so yeah, I think he'll be missing for a couple of weeks.
I mean, to be fair to Castleton, they're looking to bring young players.
And
they're built around a core, a couple of like family players as well, like the Sandsbury's.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all talented players, so.
You had a good team.
And they have had to go back to ground zero, really, haven't they? Because they obviously when they got relegated, and now they've done improvements off the pitch as well. They've said the stand has been rebuilt and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they're definitely a club on the up, but and I tipped them at the start of the season to get promoted. I think it's anyone's guess though, isn't it, at the moment, the way
I think it's great.
It's a great competition because like people you see them sulking in the first division because they're jealous really of Crispell's success there, and you look at Geordie's, but if you look in the second division, teams want to beat them. Like you look at Dave, he will pick out the games he wants to win. You'll say, oh, Governor's put teams like that, Governor's given teams a go.
Yeah,
he wants to beat the top teams. That's what you want to see in the first thing. You want to see we want a bit. Marys have just added completely, and they're now challenging. It's good, and it's great to see. And the second division, there's so much competition in there.
Yeah,
it could go. The big team's slipping up. It's great to see. They look to see it in the Premier League when they slip up.
The key change for St Mary's, what we've noticed, is they've got rid of Andy from Nets and they've put in an outfield player. It's made them so much tighter.
The legendary Dezo, Well, we'll talk about Andy Ashbridge, but we'll talk about him now, I suppose, because he came back down and I thought, well, you're going to have two really good goalkeepers.
I'm about to take him under my wing.
He's now playing centre-back and having a good season by all accounts.
Team Tinder.
We've got a Facebook chat group of all the players, and I say it's a team group, but it's a Slinger and Andy show.
I've actually named Andy as Andy Slinger. Take him under my wing. Always pre-drinks.
What's your name on there?
The Monk.
That's it. Andy and Chris's mum, I think it is. But no, I mean, the banter in there is really good, and it's part of keeping the team together, isn't it? And I mean, Andy, when he went to leave, he'd promised us all summer he was going to stay.
It was a transfer off with me and Andy.
On the Friday night, because Rob was going to sign for us, and because I was manager at the time. And I said to Rob, well, Andy said he's staying and I don't want to drop him, so...
Yeah.
Because he's a young lad and he had a good season. So Rob went and signed for Geordie's, and then on deadline day, Andy decided he wanted to go to St Mary's. And we had no other keeper at the time, so...
So we just...
My phone went off and Andy was looking for us everywhere. And then what's the transfer deadline? Was it 11 o'clock?
It's something like that.
One minute past 11, my phone went on and he was, where have you been? So I was hiding in the ball pit. The fun barn.
He was actually stood up in the
So I think so we played the best part of last season without a goalkeeper, really, and
that makes a big difference. Now I have to say, I have been Dezo's pleasantly surprised me, because I thought they were really going to struggle. They had the rest of the team look set, and I know they've got a really good defence in front of them, but every time I've seen him, he's played pretty well.
He's always been a good goalkeeper, to be fair to him.
Well, let's say he played at Pulley, didn't he?
He's good at everything. Dezo's like, I think he's got like his knees or something. He's got his knees, but...
Because he used to play up front as well, didn't he?
He's a utility man.
Oh, he's a good footballer.
He fails, I've got Nick Hurt going next.
I watched Nick, he kept a clean sheet. He probably died out on that story. It was unorthodox goalkeeping, has to be said. But continental, you might call it.
He probably had a crate behind the goal.
I can neither confirm nor deny that. Right, so we talked about Castletown have made some improvements. Where was the onking up with the move to Blackberry Lane? As Tristan is your man on the committee, aren't you?
Work has just started on the new pitch. We've put the car park in jointly with All Boys.
Yeah.
So to have a shared car park. The next aim is to get a clubhouse, which is obviously potentially going to be built within the next year or so.
Wow, okay.
We've put money aside now we've got two fields on top of Blackberry Lane. The top one is going to be levelled in the next six months.
Above
two pitches.
Are they both above where Old Boys are now, same side? Yeah.
Both above Old Boys. The aim is to have a clubhouse near enough back to back with Old Boys, because then we can share the links.
The water.
And then it's going to be predominantly a training pitch is going to be the lower field, which we're not going to do any work on yet.
Mm.
The top pitch is going to be levelled in the next 3 to 6 months, and they're going to remove the hedgerow between them.
Right.
So then that pitch is going to be left to settle. So then in about a year's time, it should be ready for games, which for the start will just be junior football. I think that's the main aim. But the seniors are going to be able to train on these facilities. Because I'm the treasurer and I see all what we're spending on all our training facilities.
Pocket.
I mean, we've probably got the, if not the biggest, the second biggest junior setup on the island.
Wow.
And we don't have anywhere to train of our own. So we're training on Bemahe Gastro. And I mean, the costs when you're putting all these different teams on is phenomenal. But,
so you, what would the plan would be to start next season at the Niverson, or will you have to play the whole season?
The seniors will be staying at the Niverson for the foreseeable. There's not a short-term plan to move them. Because, I mean, the Niverson's a really good pitch. The Yonkin Commissioners have done a really good job on there over the last few years. We've had very few games called off.
Right.
And I mean, we went down the other week, was it last weekend, expecting the game to be off. And there was a tiny pocket of standing water where it had come down the ramp. But you dispersed that, the pitch was fine. They're rolling and spiking it every week. And
oh, that's great stuff.
I think it's one of the better surfaces over here. If the grass was a bit thicker, that was the only...
I must admit, I think the week I watched you at Youthy, against Youthy, it had been raining and I thought, oh, it's going to be heavy, because it notoriously was a heavy pitch, but it was fine, wasn't it? And credit to the commissioners for putting the effort into it.
You want to stay there anyway for when you're back up with the Premier League, get a capacity crowd.
You've got the stadium, yeah.
I mean, don't fall out of the go-karts.
the actual players put some drainage in at Uncon Stadium five years ago, and it had snowed as well at that time of the year. We had Paul Whitley was playing for us, and he went around the whole pitch on his own in a digging a trench.
Wow.
And he said it was the most lonely thing he'd done, because the rest of us were having a laugh and we're putting the pipes in and the sand and the stuff. I mean, I had my wife going around with wheelbarrows and stones. It was good.
Late night.
I mean, we all had a really good laugh, but then Whitley was just on his own the whole time. But that made a huge difference to keeping the... Because once they resurfaced the go-kart track, all the water flowed onto the pitch better.
Right, okay.
But once we put that drainage in, that's prevented a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, just to change tack slightly, Dave, you were at the bowl on Saturday, weren't you? And you saw not one, but two sets of brothers playing against each other.
I did. It was St Mary's for the old boys. And so we had Craig and James Murphy playing against each other. And we had Darren and Adam Hutchin playing against each other. Now, I know it's a rarity with Onkin and Geordie's, but what was it like for you, Tris, playing against George?
Well, I've played against him twice, actually. The first time... It was a few years ago, well, it must be about 10 years ago in the cup. I was young then, had hair and everything. And we lost 3-0, but we were expected to get a real hard, and we had half our team away. Chris Knight, who was the manager, actually. And I think he must be a better ref than a manager, but we had half our team away, and our centre mid had just come back from a funeral, and he was not in a great way. And they only beat us 3-0. I mean, I was marking Chris Bass. And this was when he was even fitter. I had to go off with cramp in both legs. But I didn't get near Julian that time. So the second time I played against him was when I was manager. And we drew them in the cup again.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it finished 4-0. So we managed to keep it quite reasonable again. And we had 10 men for the last half hour. And I mean, Andy Ashbridge was in nets, gave away the stupidest penalty I've ever seen in Manx football. But... I had one chance to get him, and I'd waited, and he ran towards me, and I could have just took him clean out. And I had visions of my mum telling me off. if I injured him and he had a cup final in 2 weeks, you know, they play in every final. If I'd have wiped him out in the final.
Chris Bass Sr.
But Chris Bass Sr. used to tell us off, because Julian came to live with us at uni, and he came back from uni, and Julian, before he went to uni, was a real quiet lad. And when he came back, he'd learned how to drink a bit. apparently, we ruined him. That's what we were told. I mean, I've never played against my big brother. I've played alongside him a lot. But yeah, it's good fun.
See, it is all light-hearted banter. Because we watched it last... was it the Posse Cup final last season? Old Boys Geordies a couple of seasons ago?
When Nick played...
He mocked
us out of the game.
Yeah, Nick had the game of his life. I don't hope he doesn't mind me saying it. I thought he had the game of his life that day.
Oh, he was excellent that
day. Yeah. And I just wondered if you raise your game, you know, because of the sibling rivalry. Yeah.
We have it on our own team, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say with the Reese brothers.
We have it with there was last season.
They got the Ashbridge as well, yeah.
Well, Joe ran through on goal, got taken out. When they tackled him, the ball laid off to Mark. Mark finished it. Joe still complained for a penalty. Wanting a penalty. It happened last week. Joe wanted the ball squared to him, and they squared it to Mark. And Mark finished it, and he still complained that he wanted it passed to him.
Well, that hunger's good though, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like, the rivalry is good, I think.
Yeah. Well, we think that's a first, isn't it? Two sets of brothers being on two opposing teams. But if you know of any time or in Manx football that's happened, give us a tweet at Manx Footy Blog and we'll happily correct that next week.
Absolutely.
Talking of tweets.
Yes. Well, actually, this.
Oh, well, no, so there's a question from you first.
This is for me a special question.
It should be within the Twitter section, I think, because it's suitably light-hearted.
When are you guys going to ban George from the end of season two?
Oh, we can't. He brings the glamour.
I mean, George has turned up to play for the Combi, and he's going in nets, and he's wearing pink hairbands. And he's a great guy, George. I mean, yeah. He's a real character.
I think I remember you telling me, Tristan, didn't he score an overhead kick once?
He scored the best goal I've seen in Manx football. Yeah. It was a Cowell Cup game we were playing down Braddon. I think we were 2-1 down. Last minute, we got a corner. And Mark Quirkin, I think, now plays with Douglaston District. He was a good player as a youngster. I don't know what happened to him. He took a corner, and it was like Aspas's against Chelsea for Liverpool. It's gone out the box. It was awful, but on the edge of their box was our goalkeeper, George. Overhead kick, straight in the top corner, and it was, I think even the Braddon players celebrated it. It was such a good goal.
What was he doing so far for? Was it last minute?
Last minute corner, and he was like, can I go up? Why not? Crack on. I think it was all in the manager.
Yeah, I was going to say inspired management. Yeah. Well, talking of inspired management, we had a tweet from Troy Parker. He said, do you put the side success this season down to the fact Tristan hasn't been in the team?
Well, yeah. See, last year, I mean, I came out of retirement last year to play a season of Combi because I'd stopped managing, and the Combi actually did really well once we got George in nets, because we Troy actually came in to be the first team keeper. George came back down to the Combi, we got rid of Chambo from nets, we stopped conceding, and the Combi barely lost the game for a long time. But the first team is purely down to taking Dave out. It's the same thing. He's better on the sideline than he is in the middle.
Brilliant. Simon Dooley's also tweeted in, who was the worst hairline in Division 2?
Paul Whitley. there's no debating.
I have sort of paraphrased that. There was a dig at you in the interest, which I'm sure you've seen because included you in the tweet.
Coma.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dooley, I forgot he was playing football. He said he was playing for Royals, but I thought he was a mascot last week. I think he came on for the last minute. So he must have won a ticket in a raffle. But Paul Whitley, I mean, when he was at Onken, he was starting to thin out then. And if you catch him at the right angle, he had this, he goes, I've got this new thing, it thickens your hair. And it was a spray, and it was just like spray on hair.
That's like Chris Walsh in Pengy.
Pengy,
oh,
yeah.
Pengy. The old boy's watching 19 years old.
Pengy, to be fair.
Finch starts on the back of his head.
I watched him the other week. He's gone, he played in the hoops role for them the other week against Russian, had a really good game. So much so that he's actually now shaved his head. So he looks like Mini Hooper.
You've got to embrace it when the hair's going. take it yourself. We're not all going to have grey comb overs like that.
Luscious head that said a lot.
Right, and obviously a Manx Footy Pod's favourite list, but what is your favourite Chinese takeaway?
Any other man.
Chinese takeaway. I don't really eat Chinese takeaways. But it's a temple.
I say we tend to eat from Chinatown, but
it's a popular choice, that, Tristan.
Craig Marsh, he's now working for a takeaway as a delivery driver. And he... This is a great story. He turned up at Matthew Haddock's house the other week with a Chinese takeaway, and Matthew Haddock said, you know, that's not my address. This is White Ridge Road. You're looking for Main Road. And Craig Marsh looked confused. But what makes this even better is Craig Marsh was Matthew Haddock's housemate for about a year. So he turned up at his old address looking for somewhere different. He's not the cleverest Marsh.
We all just order off him to keep him...
Keep him in business,
yeah. Yeah. Feel sorry for him and all that.
So where does he work? We should probably give him a plug, is he?
Is it the new Manila?
Manila, so it's Thai. But we'll let them in.
That's good.
Right, before we go ahead to look at this week's fixtures, we've got to have a word from our sponsors, a bit of groundbreaking stuff here, Dave. We've got a sponsor this week, so...
we've got to pay for our pasty at half time.
That's it, so we'll listen to what they've got to say now. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Go to DraftKings.co.uk/Manx now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of £150. That's DraftKings.co.uk/Manx to play free. Right, guys, now we've got you in, it would be remiss of us not to look at Division 2 and the Premier League this week. We can only start with one game, can't we?
The mighty clash.
Taking place at Nobles Park. A derby of sorts, but not really, is it?
Yeah, I think it's a derby. But Douglasson District versus you guys.
Onken. 3 points this, really, should be robbed.
Yeah, down for 3 points. Hopefully a clean sheet. If Andy Asprey pulls his finger out. We did say last week, I think Mark hit it on the head, that this week we were going to put an Onken jacket at centre-back. He'd do more this week than he did last week.
Again, the last time the sides met this year, Onken had... Was it 10 players unavailable?
Yeah.
Because the combi really...
Wait, do you sing them all?
they earned too much money.
Yeah. They shouts at them at half time.
But no, they would struggle to scrape a combi together in the end. I think both teams had one sub each in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a real push.
Yeah.
But
that was horrendous.
I think everyone's back now, so...
Should be a good game. Douglasson District, though, we say every week, don't they? Capable of a result on the day.
The first game we played against them, it was 1-0, and the manager, hands down to him, because the wind was against them first half, he had them all behind the halfway line. Even when they broke forward, I received the ball, they just dropped straight back. And then at second half, when they came in, he just went, attack, lads. And it was just a...
But they got their, picked up their first away point of the season last week, which is a coincidence. They also will lose first point, 1-1 draw down at Clackvane. Again, they were probably gone into that expecting a win, which shows probably the inconsistency of the Indy.
It does. I mean, we saw earlier in the season, they beat Foxdale, didn't they? Huge result for them. But on another day, they lose what you'd expect them to get some more points from. But I think it'll be a tough game, I think, for you boys. But I think you'll win that one.
They've got some good players there. I mean, it just depends how the rest of them perform on the day.
I think that with the Indy, they have a good club spirit. And it, like yourselves, there's a lot of movement between the combi and the first team. Perhaps they just haven't quite got it. They're Daniel Clegg Stewart, you know, standout player for them, but maybe they're lacking in a bit of quality in that area, would you say?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe they'll try and poach Dave Reese.
Maybe they'll play Mark Quirk in the first game.
Big game at Braddon. They've got to start picking wins up again soon, haven't they?
Yeah, all eyes on
them. I know it's not quite a crisis, but the wobble is lengthening, isn't it?
Yeah, they're still in the top, at the top. Well, I mean, they're only a point behind, I think, aren't they? But
not an easy game this week.
Definitely.
Welcoming one of your old clubs, Rob, Paul Rose, to Victoria Rose. So Paulie, again, capable of a result on the day.
They're a good team. Against us, they were. I think they were really fortunate to lose against us. And I think they are a really good club. I know they've got a couple of suspensions, I think, at the moment, up.
Yeah, they score a lot of goals, Paul Rose. Yeah. They're always going to be in the game.
Yes, really good player. But I think... my money's on Glover to come back and haunt them.
Okay, well, if you reckon Glover suspended, Dave, or would you? Is that
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Glover, former goalkeeper, of course. We had him talking about his time at Paul Rose. Famously, Stephen Glover scoring his 62nd goal of the season.
A penalty
against Andy. He could come to rue that this year, couldn't he?
I reckon he'll break it.
I remember them two coming to blows in a game down there, actually.
Well, it probably might be this game, because they both got booked. So.
They were both thrown punches. I think they both could have gone that day.
Phil Kermode was the referee. He didn't realise they were brothers, so and made some crack about telling their mum or something, didn't he? But yeah, so I think that'll be a good game though. Put the anyone's at a loose end on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Braddon will come through that one.
I think another good game though. It's Val Fletcher, Douglas Royal v Foxdale. That could go either way.
That's where I'm off to. I'm going to see the Foxdale Revolution in person. I'll take down my replica 1994 T-shirt. See if I get some of the boys to sign it. Yeah. Royal need to bounce back. Obviously, you beat them last week.
Yeah.
Fox, this will be a cracker.
I think it'd be a great game.
Yeah, some goals in this. You just have to hope it's not particularly windy, because Val Fletcher is a bit exposed up there, isn't it? Not nice to stand on the sidelines in it.
You get the train carriage
call. the infamous train carriage. Picking a winner though, I'm going to sit on the fence. I'm going to go for a draw.
What about you boys? What's
Royals.
I'm going to go for Royals purely because some of the Royals lads have told me Foxdale will not go up. So they've got to put their money where their mouth is here. And if they're adamant that Foxdale won't go up, they've got to be beating them.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yet another good game. And Crosby, we've got Moran v Youthy. Youthy obviously got the big result last weekend, didn't they? So, but Moran are in good form themselves.
Yeah, Moran are starting to mirror you a little bit. A young team, and are picking up game wins now after a shaky start to the season.
It was a tough game for us against Morale. I think it was the last 10 minutes we scored. I booted it, and then Joe flipped over the keeper.
An assist?
Got six this season.
Oh, wow!
He's not counting.
Not playmaking the goalkeeper, yeah. All the rage these days, Rob.
Just needs a sort of head kicker.
More assists than clean sheets, I'll
play. Most clean sheets, assists, yellow cards.
Jack of all trades.
I like the yellows.
Yeah. UT seems to have picked it up a bit in recent weeks.
They have, and I mean, that result last week will give them a huge confidence boost. I don't think they'll challenge for promotion. They're going to struggle to challenge for Gold Cup, I would have thought. But you never know. That result could just be the fluke that they need.
We were talking about it earlier in the podcast that there are teams that are capable, right through that division, of taking points off each other. Yeah. And these two are in that mix, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, absolutely.
And it only needs a couple of runs together, as you guys have perfectly illustrated, and you're right up there, aren't you?
Well, we saw pre-season, on can beat Air. And then the very next week, half of Air went and signed for Rykob.
You're right.
It was all about that phantom goal you gave.
Yeah, I was a referee that day. It was a
phantom goal.
Great performance.
I think it hit the crossbar.
I thought it crossed the line and I gave the goal, which...
For Onken or...
For Onken. Oh. But the week before, I didn't give Onken a goal, which clearly went in. So, yeah, I think they balance out.
And he gave a penalty.
I'm not as bad as the one Jonathan Hogg.
Yeah, I was going to say, you viral.
Yeah, at least you haven't been...
I'm not that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad.
No. Last game in the no, so second to last. Michael Jims. Jims. Now, have you guys played Jims this season?
Yeah.
And Jims are flat to deceive a little bit. They've got a decent squad. It's pretty much
They got a really good squad. They're like, I don't see why they shouldn't be really pushing to promotion, because they are a decent team. They're Barry Harden.
Yeah.
He's been consistent for years. That's
Barry's
an unbelievable defender for his height as well.
Yeah,
Mark Connor. They've got some really good players, but
Gorney.
They struggle because they haven't got the strength and depth of, say, like ourselves have. I think that's key, because you're always going to have people away. And when they haven't got people to filter in,
that's when you struggle.
Yeah.
Well, they're playing Michael this week. Michael's still just the one goal.
Yeah, still down there.
Rob, you've assisted more goals this season than they've scored, which. And I think they've got, honestly, well, the one point they've got this season, a 0-0 draw against you guys.
Yeah, that was a clean sheet as well.
Yeah.
the concern for Michael is the lad who's got their one goal has apparently stopped playing.
Michael Cole, we were going to get replica shirts at one point.
I'm sure he played against us.
Someone told me that he'd stopped playing.
Well, they played against us.
They said the top scorer had none.
Yeah.
Their centre-back had the most shots in the game.
Right.
Yeah. Three from his own half.
Wow.
Because they had the wind behind him.
Yeah.
I mean, that 0-0, I don't know, Onken spent the whole second half and Michael's got
their
half.
Keeper.
He had an excellent game.
He did in the last game. I think if it wasn't for him,
the Rob Fargo, was it?
Don't know, a big guy, older guy.
He was really good.
Yeah, and he was good in that second game. If it wasn't for him, I'd hands down say that they'd be getting whooped every week 10, 11-0.
You've got to credit them though, haven't you? They're plugging away every week. Now, this run. We've got to. They must be getting back up towards that figure. What was it they reached in the Premier League? Eight.
I think they might grab a goal this weekend.
Are you? You're tipping them for a goal?
I'm tipping them for a goal, but I think Jim's will win.
With Jabber at the back, definitely.
Last game of the week in Division 2, Castletown versus Governors Athletic. Before we go into that match, one of the ex-Town strikers, a bit of transfer news. Danny Attersley was in. Playing for Altrincham in the Conference North. He's now transferred, I believe, last week, a week before, to Warrington Town in the Evo Stick Premier League.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Warrington Town famously beat Exeter in the Cup last year, was it on telly, I think?
Dan Moore was down there.
Yeah. Their goal scorer was Craig Robinson, his brother of Milton Keynes manager.
Dan Hattersley actually cost my Onken under-17s the double.
Did he?
Oh, he scored
what a scumbag.
Scored a hat-trick past us in the final.
Yeah, right,
3-1.
Right into his team.
And he scored, it was the year he scored something like, was it 100 goals across the combi in the 17s. And so they just finished ahead of us that year as well.
I always found it strange, he never really played first team.
No, it was baffled, because he scored so many goals, but it's like we say, you got to give people a chance.
And then, of course, he's played professional football off the back of that. Tristan,
yeah.
So there you go. They're playing, Castletown are playing Governors, back to the match. You'd have to favour a home win, but Governors have shown they're...
I'm going for Tony's fault.
They're no pushovers this season, only three wins already under the belt, which is probably more than the rest of the history of the club, is it?
Absolutely.
It's good to see, though. They've formed a club, and now they've got Tony. Tony's a good manager.
So do you count that as a derby game now? Is that...
A derby with the other 12 teams in the league.
Yeah. I think they class it as a derby more than what we would. But I mean, half of their team have played for Oncombe through the junior ranks. Alex Noon, Andy Payne, Daniel Furwell. They've all played for us at junior level here and there, but they've got some good little players. I mean, we took James Gifford back from them this year. They had him on loan for a couple of years. He's been part of our first team defence. An excellent right back.
He's been away for a couple of weeks.
Because he had a couple of years out, then he came back to football through them. And they've got some really good players. I mean, was it Peter Callow this time from Ramsey?
Yeah, from St John's. Yeah, he was at Ramsey. Yeah,
he was at Ramsey. I mean, he seemed like a grown man at the age of 14.
Yeah, he's got tremendously bearded. He played junior Ireland, I think. And he Stalybridge Celtic.
Yeah, he had a
spell over there. Yeah. So you know, he's obviously a decent player. But
do you think Governors might get something?
I want them to.
Yeah.
I think
if Alex Crawley's banned, I think that they've got a good chance.
He's a good inspirational player, though. Crawley, everyone pulls him for his wind-up. I think it's ace. It's great that he can get under people's skin.
Well, because you're the same.
Yeah. It's great that you take people off their game and all they're interested in is getting at you.
Yeah.
But it was against that, I think, against us, Crawley, massive influence. He was not on the ball, but off it as well.
Yeah.
For some of the young players. And he's
very tenacious, isn't he? He just doesn't stop.
It's funny, though. It's great. He runs for 90 minutes. He's bigging the other players up and he's getting the passion going in there.
Yeah.
And then the wind-up, I think it's ace. I think there's no more a better player that'll just get under your skin, annoy you, because you want to take them down, you want to see their team lose, but I think it's great.
And obviously young squad, so it pretty needs characters like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm going for Cast Town win, you know, the rest of you are still...
No, I think Town as well.
Well, you wouldn't be allowed back in the vicinity of you if you didn't tip them. Premier League this week, let's start with the game you're going to, Dave. Peel versus Corinthians.
Yes, down in Colby. Now, I've seen Peel play down there a couple of times this season. And
well, it's been confirmed now. Peel's pitch is now out of action, definitely till next season. So you might be seeing Peel at Colby a few more times this season.
But I haven't seen them win there yet. They played Old Boys and lost 1-0, and then they lost to St John's a couple of weeks ago. So
a bit of a bad luck charm then. They'll be delighted that you'll be down there this week then.
I bet.
It'll be a cracking game though. I think the Peel have maybe got to up it. I think Corinthians perhaps going to this one as marginal favourites.
I think they'll be up for it.
Yes.
If the Peel are dropping points, I think Corinthians will be well, thinking they can...
Yeah, they've got some great players at Corinthians. I mean, they're a young squad as well. You've
come through together. Yeah. They're I think it's 7 wins or 8 wins on the bounce now, and that's a cracking run of form.
They leapfrogged Peel last week, didn't they?
Yeah. Peel, obviously, your tremendous article in the Independent today, Lee Gale's jacked in the
football this season. Yeah,
having completely started.
Yeah,
having been selected for the mountain bike and Alan Games team, he will possibly play the odd game, but his focus is all on mountain bike, and he can't run the risk of getting injured or anything. Yeah. And he's a huge loss to
the Allen Games team.
Massive player last season. He was the player of the year.
Yeah.
Ash seems to be coming back to fitness and obviously form. He's the league's top scorer. But you have to say, I think there'll be goals in this one, but I'm going to go for
Thomas.
Corinthians.
Well, they've got Max Thomas now, have they?
No, it's Kirill, but he's still suspended.
Will suspension start yet?
He missed last week, so he'll definitely be suspended this week. And Owen Dawson, so there'll be a lot of pressure on young Owen. Against a team that can score goals.
People like Stephen Whitley will be looking to.
Yeah. Well, he did it from the halfway line against young Callum Johnson, the St John's keeper, so don't be surprised if he tries it again.
But, I mean, the thing is as well, we don't know when Josh Kelly's coming back either.
The mercurial Josh Kelly, but... barring his appearance, he's going to be off the pace anyway. Even if he does come back, I'm going to go for a Corinthians win this week.
Yeah,
definitely.
Laxey St Mary's, another cracking game in Premier League this week. There's some good games this week.
It's a good week. Well, nothing better than D&D Oncombe, but I saw St Mary's last week, and they beat Old Boys 4-2. But again, it could have quite easily gone the other way. This St Mary's just took their chances. They've got a brilliant counter attack on their day. Old Boys were slightly unlucky. I think Laxey came undone against Corinthians 4-1, I believe. So it'd be interesting.
Laxey, I think, have not won the last few games. They haven't picked up a point. They've drawn a couple. They haven't won for 3 or 4.
And they've lost Sean now.
Sean's off to Japan. He's a big player, Sean Kelly. Scores lots of goals. It's just a big. He's got that monster throw. He's a physical presence as well. So he'll be missed. Samaria's welcome back a few of the lads that were on the infamous Jones stag due to Bernard Gorm, so they'll be hopefully near back full strength.
Wonder if Dicko's recovered yet.
Wonder if Frank's still got his peel kit on.
Yeah. It was a cracking picture, yeah. We should really tweet that of Frank. And a Pazzaglia rugby hat, rugby scrum cap. Don't know if he's channeling his inner Peter Cech or whatever, but yeah, it's just Samaria's win. We're going for chaps, do you think?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think with like Sestido in there.
Yeah, he's class, isn't he?
Carl Harrison's back.
Yeah, with Harrison's back, that'll be hard for the Laxey front line to break down.
Yeah.
Douglas Athletic Air, now, I've put this in my preview, I think this could be the points that keep Douglas Athletic up for another season. I think 14, I think it's only three times 14 is senior relegated. So,
yeah.
And Air is just on a terrible run, aren't they?
Well, with the points deduction and all, I think they're staring down the barrel, aren't they? But Douglas Athletic, yeah, I've seen a couple of Facebook posts on their group this week, and they know the importance of this game. They know how big this is to their season. You'd have to fancy them to get the win.
I watched them against Union Mills last week. They hammered on the door for 90 minutes and eventually got the winner against a stubborn Union Mills. But that meant a lot to them as well. So they've obviously pinpointed these two fixtures, and I think that's what it's about in the Premier League, isn't it? Pinpointing the games
that you can get points from.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of some positives there. They lost 10-2 to Colby, who were effectively a team around them last week. You know, that's going to be hard to take, isn't it?
It's a shame for Air, because they've got some of the best junior teams again. Yeah. And if they can keep all the junior players coming through, then in the long term, they'll be okay. But I think it's going to be a case of go down, regroup.
Yeah,
and build from the bottom again and start bringing the kids.
Right? I think the only one positive we touch on pretty much both weeks, they can score goals. You know, you often see a team that are struggling and it's going in wrong at both ends, but Air seems to be able to score.
You got your man Dean Tate,
probably top scorer. He's got about 8 or 9 goals, which is not bad for a team that are rock bottom.
Defending for the whole game.
Yeah. So, you know, they could maybe potentially nick a goal or two against Athletic this week.
Yeah.
Former Air striker, talking of Air strikers, Niall Cummins, did you see the week this week, guys? He's playing for Curzon Ashton in the Conference North. They won their FA Cup first round replay against Westfields, at 9th tier Westfields, 3-1 on Saturday, Monday evening, sorry. And he scored a delightful chip in the 3-1 win.
Goal, yeah.
He joined one of you two boys might know, Adam Morgan, used to play for Liverpool.
Adam Morgan, yeah.
Yeah, he scored. He's recently signed for the Curzon, and he scored 2 goals in that match. They will now play Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon, the next round, which is live on BT Sport on December 4th. So go Ed Nile, as they say. Yeah, we'll be glued. I think it's a lunchtime kickoff on the Sunday.
If they get knocked out, he can go back to Air for the season.
See, I mean, Air could easily pick something up if they wanted to, like, to line Garland up. we managed him for a year or so, and he was just a walking red card.
Well, I have to say, Lee Ford was sent off last week. Now, he protested it wasn't a second yellow, but it looked pretty nailed on to me. And Lee is another lad that he could.
He has in his locker.
I mean, with Popeye on the bench, maybe Ryan's behaving himself these days, I don't know.
I have to say, you know, I've seen him a couple of times and he hasn't been walking the tightrope he usually walks, so as you say, maybe the threat of Brian on the sideline
doesn't
want
to get grounded.
Gets sent off again and into a Sunderland match.
Rob, your old club St George's away to Colby this week. It's got 3 points written all over it.
Colby's
for life. I want to see Junior pick up another yellow card. Because he's on 3, the same as me. I do work for them.
Yeah.
And he keeps rubbing it in, but he's on 3 yellow cards. And his missus has to collect the fines as well. So.
He gets told off and she's got to collect it.
The inside of football knowledge there.
Yeah. So
I'd like to see Julian score an own goal.
Well, he was the Tony Hibbert for many years. A riot was predicted. He scored recently in the last couple of years, hasn't he?
He's the least prolific of the Ringhams, I'll get that. There's one thing I can do better than him is put the ball in the net. But
I'd say, Tristan, are you jealous that Andy has a Julian Ringham?
I have a Julian Ringham replica shirt. It's an extra, extra large, though, which baffles me, because he is only a slight chap, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I've got photos of him in Liverpool kits as a kid. I think that's much better.
So we're saying a away win there. Colby, it's up. It's all up against them this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Primrose-Smith bagged 5, didn't he, against Air last week?
I should give him a mention. Him and Jordan Edge, the two Jordans. Eric was very impressed with them against. But it's a different class, isn't it, against Geordie?
It is.
I think this is a weaker St George's than we've seen for a few years, though, in terms of they lost, was it 80, 90 goals from last season's team. They I mean, they only beat us 4-0 the other year. And if the teams organise themselves in the right way, then you can grind results out or keep them more respectable. Mm-hmm. But I think where some teams go wrong is to try and go at them, leave yourself open, and they'll pull you apart.
Had some bad injuries though as well this season.
And Kieran as well.
Connor
Doyle's gone away. Bassi's had a lot of injuries. I mean, they have had a lot of players out in terms of goals. I mean, Sam Keating and
Johnny and Chris have both been prolific.
Chris as well to score. Well, I just like winding him up, especially about his height. Being the smallest player on the island.
They're starting to bring some youngsters through now, aren't they?
We'll be talking about it. They brought a few in, haven't they?
Uni Mills
and Laxey. And
Connor Prescott came in. And
they seem to have bedded in quite well.
I've been impressed with them when I've seen them play.
So, yeah, they'll probably get a chance against Kobe this week, won't they? Old Boys Union Mills. Old Boys Mills are still reeling. They were appealed this points deduction, so we'll have to see how the appeal goes. But, you know,
well, you're playing unregistered play, you get a point. Yeah. I don't think there's much.
No, I think it seems pretty black and white, but to be fair to them, they have appealed. Old Boys, you'll take a lot of heart from last week's performance.
Yeah, I mean, second half especially. I mean, it was 3-1 at half time. And again, the third goal from St Mary's was arguably offside. But the second half performance from Old Boys was really impressive. So if they can take that in to the rest of the season, then, you know, they could work their way up the table. But yeah, Mills, after that last minute.
Will Penhallerick. Yeah, his goal really was a sucker punch for Mills, and it'll be hard for them to pick themselves up because it was pretty much the last head of the game, as it were. They're going to have to, as we talked about before, target other games, I think, for their points, and I'd favour a home win in that one. Last but not least, Rush and make the trek north to Ramsey.
For some Bovril
at Ramsey. Russian, obviously, won the Old Firm last week, the first time in nine. First win since 2013. You'd have to favour them against a Ramsey team, that a young side, has to be said.
Yeah, I mean, Russian are having a decent season. They're a little bit hit and miss at times, aren't they?
Yeah, consistency is what they need, I think, if they're going to challenge many of the top.
Yeah, I mean, to beat Peel is no easy task, but then they lost, 5-1 to Old Boys, didn't they, recently?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just shows you how Jekyll and Hyde they can be. But Mike Williams is having a good season. And I think, they should come away with that with all 3 points.
Josh Kelly Mark 2, as we like to call them. Right, Giants, thanks for coming in. Sorry for taking up your lunch hour. I hope you've enjoyed it and it hasn't been too painful. I have to say, really, is good luck for the rest of the season.
We'll be watching
the Premier League next year.
Yeah. Right, that's it for this week. Don't forget, you tweet us at any time at Monks Manx. I keep saying Monks. It's because the Monks. The Monks. It's at Manx Footy Blog anytime, day or night. Monk Footy Blog. I don't know what sort of response you get from that. No.
Yeah.
You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search Manx Football on there, and they're all there, aren't they? Available to download at your perusal. Also, you can search audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, and again, all 12, as it will be now, are on there for a listen.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Cheers, guys. That's it for this week, and we'll hopefully have Union Mills duo Christian Selimer and Neil Akakulgado. Is it?
Well said.
Thank you very much. In next week, he'll correct me next week.
No doubt.
Ta-ta for now.
Yeah.